Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hello, Christine Marie.
Oh, don't call me that.
Why not?
Call me Ninja.
Ninja.
I am
the
ninja that everybody's been talking about.
Yes.
And I finally am just decided to come out of the
closet. Are you the ninja?
I am the ninja.
You've been holding back on me, girlfriend.
I mean, screw Kylie Jenner money.
No, exactly.
Screw that. That's peanuts.
That's exactly.
I am ninja.
You are ninja.
I am billionaire ninja.
And you will be heading off to the Olympics shortly.
The IOC 20,
the
has,
Francis,
has
the Francis,
me.
Francis. Francis?
Is that France?
France.
Is it going to be in France this year?
No, it's in Paris 2025, I think.
Oh, okay.
You get to go.
I will be playing. I will be playing Fortnite.
Yes. And kicking everybody's butt.
Kicking butt as the ninja.
As the ninja.
Did you ever realize, though, like, that this would be such a huge, huge thing, that more people would be watching other people playing games than watching real sporting events? I mean,
yeah,
but they're calling it esports.
Esports. Well, there is, TNT or TBS has their esports on, and I'm like, what's going on here?
TBS does? You can actually watch people playing games?
Yeah, 100%.
Where have I been in the dark ages? Excuse me, I am the ninja.
You're the ninja. You've been doing this.
I know about all
this. Well, and you've been keeping it so hidden in the dark, I didn't know what was going on. I remember reading this report about some stocks and stuff like that, just kind of, and it read one line, and then it read another line. And I'm like, this line here? I didn't understand one word of this line. And then it said, next line was, and if you didn't understand the second line we said, don't worry. 99% of you don't. But if you're a millennial, or if you're into gaming, you totally understand this.
Right.
And it's all about gaming. And you're just like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And this isn't, you know, because like a little businesses have just cropped up all over our area, where you could just go in and gamble.
Right.
But you just got to sit there and look at a machine.
Yes.
But these people play games.
Yeah.
They play real, real games. They have real, real characters that wear real, real clothes.
Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome if we could buy gaming with gambling.
Yeah.
Like, actually, you personally can go in, drop a 20, and then 20 minutes later, either come out with $20.10 or you've lost it all.
Exactly.
You know?
And then how good are you? I was hearing a story about kind of we're listening to all these college shenanigans
yes.
right now. But I was listening to a father who was saying, I've got a kid who I'm asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? How do we start saving for this? Do I have and the kid goes, oh, don't worry. I'm going to be a gamer.
Yeah.
I can make a fortune. I can just do what my passion is, Daddy.
Yeah, my passion.
My passion is
And didn't
playing
you tell me
games.
I can go after my dreams? Didn't you tell me, Daddy, that I'm allowed to go after my dreams?
Look at my vision board, Daddy. Don't you see that I have...
Do you see my console? And do you see a person sitting in this really comfy chair, moving their fingers back really fast and calling it a career? Don't you see that in my vision board, Father?
That's my career,
that's
Daddy.
That's my goal. And then the other way is like... Mommy, don't you realize all I want to do is grow up and become a YouTuber?
Yeah.
I just want to put videos up on YouTube and call it a career.
I want to be a lifestyle influencer.
Yeah.
I want you to look at me and know that I want to tell you how to live your life.
I want at the precious age of 18, I think I have enough knowledge to tell you what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
and
to know that Mommy got me into college, and even though I don't really, I've talked to the dean, and he said I'm okay just going to the games and going to party and stuff.
Yeah.
The grades, he knows that's not my bag, but since I'm such an important lifestyle influencer
he's betting on me bringing more people in, because won't people want to come to school if I'm there? Yes.
And really, what I'm there to learn, I can probably already have a degree in sociology.
Yes.
What are we talking about here, girlfriend?
Here's the weird part. At this moment, two lawsuits have already come out. One was a parent and a child who, the child didn't get into that school or to Harvard or Princeton, to one of those schools. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, you know what? He didn't get in because of his grades or his SAT scores. Mm-hmm. He didn't get in because I wasn't willing. I couldn't pay the $15,000 to $250,000 to get the child into school. Mm-hmm. And that just didn't seem right because that wasn't part of the criteria.
Right.
If you would have told me there was a, you know, like a tip on the other side.
A hidden fee.
Yeah, I would have started saving for that a long time ago, but you never told me that.
That's right.
So how am I supposed to, it's not an even game.
Yeah.
And then the other lawsuit is this. People who have gotten into the college are suing because they now say their degree is now less valuable because Ooh. Not everybody's gotten in because of merit.
Whoa.
And so even though they worked hard and got in on merit.
Oh, you went to that university. Oh, you just bought your way in.
You bought your way. You went to Harvard?
Yeah.
Oh, you bought your way in.
When I was growing up, those were called degree mills.
Yeah.
Well, Harvard.
Yeah, Harvard. That degree mill. Yale degree mill. Well, what I find interesting is that, years ago I heard this story about the parents and of students who had gone to Harvard and Yale were really complaining because some of the classes were based on scale or like the bell curve.
Right.
So not everybody would get an A.
Right.
And they're like, we're not sending our child to Harvard to get a D because he just happens to fall at the last 20% of the class.
Whoa.
Because that is, you know, like he still got 95% correct.
Right.
You know, we're not sending him to. Yeah. And so.
Interesting.
You know, and I find it all interesting.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to bend the rules
yeah.
a little bit here and a little bit there, and then you have some of the Asian students suing these colleges. Because they're saying, you give me less points because just there's a lot of Asians who are just incredibly hardworking and smarter than you guys out there. And we have to work quadruply hard.
Yeah.
I can't get higher than a 4.2 grade point average out of 4. I can't do it. It's not possible.
Then they're probably saying, you know, it's just math, baby. It's just math.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have other people going, it's not worth it. What are you guys doing?
Just go to plumber school.
Yeah, it's worth it if it can be worth it to you.
Yeah.
If you got a lot of other things on your mind, it ain't worth it. But if you don't have anything on your mind but this, mm-hmm. and it's worth it to you,
Meaning to go to school at a certain university.
Yes.
Got it.
Because I would think most people go, that's just ridiculous.
Right.
You know, especially when you realize 90% of you won't use your degree anyway.
Yeah.
Now, I will admit, Harvard, Yale, these top 10 schools, mm-hmm. they do pack a little more punch, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Are you talking about for if you're an employer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. And also, too, from what I understand, is they, even though you may not be in a fraternity,
yeah.
by the mere fact that you went to Harvard.
You guys all have your back.
You all have each other's back. If somebody's in need or whatever.
It's like going to Willow Creek or Willowbrook. What's the big mega church in the suburbs?
I think the big mega church is Willowbrook, but maybe it's Willow Creek.
It's one of those.
Yeah.
And I know that if you go to that church, you know, you guys kind of all have this wink, wink, nudge, nudge that, hey, if you need a roofer, there's got to be a roofer from your church. You know, don't go outside the church to get a roofer. Mm-hmm. You know,
you can have everything that you need inside you. But it's a mega church.
It's a mega. Yeah, so I mean, chances are
does it all.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
One ringy dingy, two ringy dingy.
Lord, I need a good roofer that will give me a right estimate.
Hold on, Julie.
And can you be like, you know, call Angie's List.
Can you make a cue too?
Yeah, exactly. Can you give me a couple of references and a couple of referrals and, you know, all the good stuff? Yeah. So, well, I just find it very interesting, this whole dealio.
I know, Jules.
And we found out that Beto is running for president now.
I know. I was talking about that he wanted Beto to have a better policy, a better reason to run for president than that is just the world needs him.
Yeah. Beto's like, what other reason could it possibly be? The world needs me. The world needs me.
Ask Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
Ask Oprah.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. Well, we listened to about 2 seconds of him, and he said, the world, yeah, the answer is the world needs me. Yeah. And we're just like, oh, you just, dude, just chill out. Chill just a little bit.
Well, here's the thing, though. But it's kind of, I don't know really who's going to, obviously, in this huge arena of people that are running now.
Yeah.
But it's, he of all is interesting to me.
Yeah.
And the reason is, for some reason, he ruffles Trump's feathers.
Yeah.
He ruffles Kellyanne Conway's feathers. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
He's, but I think he's a media darling. He could be.
Well, I think that the charisma factor, because I think Trump does, I'm the one.
Right.
You don't do that to me.
Yeah, I'm the media magnet.
I'm the media darling. I think you're right about that. And the fact that Trump has this ability, it's kind of like when you were a kid. You know, I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah.
I'm rubber, you're glue, it bounces. You know, it's like whatever he calls you, it's kind of what he is.
Right.
So when was saying to Beto, he goes, I don't know much about the guy, but he really uses his hands a lot.
Yeah.
When he talks. And that's kind of crazy. And I was like, and, you know, this is a guy that looks like an accordion.
Yeah.
President Trump to me looks like an accordion.
Yeah.
When he's talking.
Yes.
His hands go in, they go out.
Yes.
It's a squeeze box.
And his mouth makes a funny looking face.
So it's like, well, this could be a little bit of the pot calling the kettle.
Texan? Yeah.
I don't really know. But and also, too, that when Trump came to Texas to I don't know, for, I guess, for Cruz.
Right.
And Beto had his same thing. I think that he outnumbered the president.
Oh.
And he also somehow gets tremendous amount of money. People send him, and he's not even running for anything.
Oh, interesting.
So he has like $38 million or something
like that. Oh, already in his treasure chest?
Yeah.
Oh, where was it called?
Trying. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's an interesting charismatic factor about him.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him.
The only thing I don't know about him. Yeah. The only I don't know about him exactly, or I don't, is I'm just tired of politics right now. Like, I'm tired of it all. I'm tired of...
Come rest your head on my shoulder, darling.
Can you? I'd rest your head on your boobie, more or less. Yeah. That would be nice and
that
soft.
That would be like, mama.
Yeah, mama, please take care of me. Not like the low boobie part, but just like the chest. Oh,
the high boobie.
Yeah, the high boobie part, not the low. That would be really weird.
I was like ready to go for it, though. It's like, if you need a place to rest, here I am.
On my rocking chair on the front porch, and I will heal your scars. And,
yeah. So you're just a little politics blown.
I'm blown. Yeah, and I wish they would blow me. At least I get benefit from it, but they don't. And so I'm just done with it. I'm just done with it. But oh well.
Is that all you wanted to say about Beto?
I just don't know yet. They're trying to synthesize what the Democratic Party means. And they're saying right now, so I heard someone say it means Medicare for all and free education. I'm like,
I'm sure that person was a Republican.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure.
And
that,
also,
I go, that's what we mean.
Here's what the Republicans think. Free education, free health care.
Yeah.
And a totally socialist government.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the boogeyman. Well, and it was so funny because I guess the governor of California stayed in execution yesterday. Hmm. There was somebody to be executed, and he just said, no, we're not going to kill somebody.
Right.
And of course, our state-run, our Fox said,
did you say state run?
Excuse me. Squeeze me. Fox News, breaking
Federal
opinions.
Yeah. When your news organization calls it breaking opinions, you know they're covering their own ass. Like, we got to cover our own ass somewhere.
But they were saying this from a state that will kill a baby at birth. But no, they won't kill a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Jolie, I want to put my head on your chest. I'm like crazy, too. It's just crazy. And
it just all seems
and
crazy.
And, you know, do you remember that, this was a while ago, but that those teenagers from, I think they were from Kentucky or Tennessee, that went to, they were visiting the Capitol Hill, and they were in the courtyard when there was this Indians that were doing a protest, and this Indian was doing a prayer with a prayer drum, and
yeah,
and this kid wearing a MAGA hat, and mm-hmm, he was within a group of boys, all teenagers wearing MAGA hats, stood like right in this Indian's face and just gave him the, like, how dare you? I don't know, but the look was visceral.
It was.
And it was mean. It was scary.
Yeah.
And so I found out that that kid's parents are suing CNN for something like $250 million.
Hey, when did that happen?
Let me tell you why, though. Because CNN, you know, covered it. And so now they're saying that their son is going to have difficulty getting into the proper school now.
Oh.
Because his reputation has been sullied. And even if he does get into a school, he probably won't be able to earn the income that he could have earned had his reputation not been sullied by CNN.
So they're really expecting him to make $200 million in his lifetime?
Yeah.
Damn. What?
He's going to be a ninja gamer.
A gamer. Yeah. You know, I like the word sullied because wasn't that the pilot?
Yes.
Yeah, his name is Sully.
Captain Sully.
So, like, I think we've turned the corner on the word sullied.
Yeah.
Because I think sullied can mean, like,
savior.
Yeah.
Yeah, walk on water.
Yeah. Oh, you've been sullied.
Well, he walked on water wings.
Literally. Literally, he walked in water.
All I can think of, though, when I think of Captain Sully is Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see the real Captain Sully.
No, and I think the real one is just as grateful that no longer does his face come in your mind. Literally, when you think of Sully, you think of Tom Hanks
somebody's face coming in my mind. It's just the opposite.
Just the opposite? Oh, that's totally fine. Yeah. However it is.
Did you hear, I just read on in the intranets that Tom Hanks is the new CEO of a company because as a aging man, mm-hmm. he is in his early 60s now or something like that. And he was having ED.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he was tired of taking the little blue pill and all the other stuff. Yeah. He couldn't afford the bathtubs.
Right.
But so he worked with a company. Uh-huh. And he's got a new product out now, and he's CEO of the company, and it's called the Magnum TRX. And Tom Hanks, CEO of a company that makes boners.
I like that.
For men.
He makes boners. And they all sound like, you know what? Woody. Well, hello, cowboy. How you doing?
What, didn't he play Woody?
He played little Woody.
Or was he?
It was Woody.
That's foreshadowing.
It is a name game. You know, he played Woody, and now he makes Woodies.
Yeah.
You know, and I think bravo to Tom Hanks for also knowing that at some point in your life, you have to think about your retirement and diversify.
Yeah.
He can't put all of his eggs in one basket, or as you might say, all of his nuts in one basket.
That's right.
Got to spread those nuts around. Mm-hmm. And I think putting him in, and also him being the poster child for this, for ED.
Tom Hanks, poster child for ED.
Yes. It used to be
ED used to stand for educational development when I went to school.
Yeah.
Now it's just Erectile dysfunction.
I was going
erectile dysfunction.
I thought they emotional disorder.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Emotionally disordered. I don't know. Something like that. Well, you know, it's interesting because this week, I don't know where you got this bug at, but you got a bug up your butt.
Yeah.
And it's about ICs. Do you know what ICs stand for?
I have a bug up my butt.
About ICs.
Is it intestinal something?
Intentional community.
Oh, it's intentional community.
Yes. Intentional community.
I know I got a bug up my butt. I've been spending lots of time studying intentional community.
Yeah. And I just thought, well, I mean, we intentionally communicate. And here's our intentional community.
Yeah.
Right here, our little family. But yeah, you've been going deeper into the rabbit hole.
I've been going down to the rabbit hole. And I have found a few that I would not mind joining.
Well, and they're in the States, too.
Yeah, but they're all over the world.
Yeah.
But the bulk of the ones in the United States are Amish or Mennonite.
Right.
Which, and you still can join.
Even if you're not an Amish or a Mennonite.
Well, you got to.
Oh, you got to convert.
You got to play by the rules.
Yeah, well, which was very interesting to me.
And I love me a good horse.
Well, that's what he said. I don't know where the line is, and it might be a very thin line between intentional community and cult. I just don't know.
No, can I say something, though?
Yes.
If you were willing to go down the rabbit hole,
yes,
as I did, there actually is a category. There's intentional community. That's the broader category.
Right.
And then there's eco. So in some of the intentional communities, their niche or their focus is all about sustainability, being eco cool, you know,
right,
like organic stuff.
Right.
Then the next category is spiritual.
Mm.
So there'd be like New Age, or there's several Jewish.
Oh, sure.
Communities that, you know, are intentional communities. And what's interesting about the Jewish communities,
yeah,
as opposed to other ones,
mm-hmm,
especially religious or spiritual, most of the other ones are in like areas that are very, very non-populated. The Jewish communities are like heart of New York City, you know.
Yeah,
they're just like right in the
midst of everything.
Yeah, and they have a community there, which,
yeah,
is cool. So then there's the spiritual, and then there is what people would call cultish.
So,
and they label that.
It's kind of, oh, really? It's labeled like a cult.
Yeah.
Because in some ways, like, okay, so like a square is a quadrilateral, you know?
Right.
But not all things are quadrilaterals. No.
Not all quadrilaterals are
squares. That's it. That's it. So it would be like,
so it's a cone.
Like a cone is not a quadrilateral. A triangle, a rectangle would be.
I'm saying a cone, like a K-O-A-N.
Oh, what's a K-O-N-E? K-O-A-N.
Campers of America. No,
a
cone is a look it up, Julie. Just a,
oh, jeez.
Alexa, what is the definition of a cone? K-O-A-N.
Cone is usually defined as a paradoxical anecdote or a riddle that has no solution, used as in Buddhism to show the inadequacy of logical reasoning.
Oh,
see,
the inadequacy of logical reasoning.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you.
Well, okay. And so then, you know, all cults are intentional communities, but not all intentional communities are cults.
100%. You got
it. I get it.
You got
it. I got
it. Girl.
Okay, good.
You got it.
Because I think where we live is an intentional community.
Yeah, we intentionally live here.
We intentionally live in this community.
We pay intentional taxes.
Yeah, we pay taxes.
Intentional water bills.
But what I was interesting is that you were going this rabbit hole, and like this one, you have to work 5 hours a week,
right,
to support yourself there.
Right.
And as a community, they've decided to raise peanuts and make peanut butter.
They make nut butters.
Nut butters.
And specifically peanut, but there's other butters.
Like cashews or almond butters.
Right.
They
but
sell
they made,
those.
They said they made like $750,000 last year.
And that covered everything.
And you were supposed to work five hours a week.
Right.
And they have like a little blueprint or a chart. And like a flow chart, really.
Uh-huh.
And there's probably about 20 different types of circles in this flow chart. And you put your 5 hours in one that you're, like, I, as a psychotherapist, I would put mine in social marriage and family kind of
relationship
kind of a thing. Whereas some people might, you know, they have a wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah, everything has to be done. I mean, you've got sewer people, you've got electrical people.
Yeah.
I mean, everything.
Village people.
You know, I would be a police person. Mm. That would be kind of something I would like to do. Mm. Or maybe I would be, and this would be the time I would claim my career, which would be advice giver. I would write an advice column for the intentional community. People would come, they would write to me. Yeah. I wouldn't even know. They'd put in a big hat all of their questions and comments.
Yeah.
And I would take it and then pick a 3 or 4 out of the hat. And, you know, once a week.
You could be the Dan Savage of intentional communities.
The Dan Savage of the intentional communities.
Oh, my God.
And then maybe I'd have a syndicated column.
You would.
And it would go into multiple intentional communities.
Yeah.
And some of the questions would be, you know, understandable questions.
And finally, you found yourself making a shitload of money, and you'd have to give it all to the intentional community.
Oh, I bet, because it would be like working for a company, and you signed over, like, hey, whatever thing, anything you create here,
your IP.
We have.
What does IP stand for?
Informational product. No. Intellectual properties.
Correct.
Yes, we have your intellectual properties.
Exactly.
You know, I remember the guy who created retinol, who discovered retinol.
Yeah.
That beautiful. Orgasmic wrinkle reducer cream. Mm-hmm. And he said, once I discovered it, and because I think Donahue said, we're even making Donahue. This is how old it was.
Donahue.
The kids out there are like, who's Donahue? Look it up.
He's like Cher, just one word.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Cher?
Oh, she's playing at Ravinia this year with Nickelback.
And she's opening for Nickelback.
Yeah, she's opening for Nickelback. Oh, who's Nickelback?
He's opening for 50 Cent.
Yeah. I'm kicked off because he's one more. He's 1/5 a quarter. I don't know.
We're just keeping with the money themes. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, we were just. Yeah. I love the 50 Thank cent you. Thing. It made
Thank
more
you.
Sense.
It did. Thank you.
Than what I was coming up with.
More sense.
Ah! That's lovely. That's lovely.
We're amusing ourselves, people.
Why not? No one else will. Right. I've tried to make people, you know, come on, amuse me. Dance for me, people, dance. But no, they refuse to. So screw them. Screw them.
So we just go back to you being the police. Well, you don't have to be the policeman.
No, I like being the Dan Savage of my intentional communities.
Yeah.
And then having, you know, a syndicated column.
Right.
And maybe I have to. I don't know.
In this one that I was interested in was in Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And you had to go there and live there for a minimum of 3 weeks initially just to see if you liked it.
Right.
And to see if they kind of liked you.
Right.
And if that all worked out, then you have a year that you work there, and you're not a firm member at that point, because at any given time they're trying to evaluate that. I'm sure what has happened, because these rules come from experience, that maybe you didn't put your 5 hours in
right
that week.
Yeah, like, hey.
But you still came to the breakfast, lunch, and dinners.
Yeah.
And you still, because let's face it, I'm sure there's a lot of sex going on.
Yeah, and let's face it, let's say if we went as a family, you know, damn wrong, well, I'll be doing the 15 hours of working, and mom and dad are like sitting back just chilling. Like, it doesn't matter who does the 5 hours
of work.
It doesn't matter.
As
long as it gets done, right?
Because,
I got to pluck the peanuts from the bush. I'm plucking the peanuts from the bush.
Julie's stepping on the penis to make the butter.
Yeah. Is this how it works? Can we not invest? Listen, I got a little money saved. I will invest in an electronic thing. You know, come on.
One of those old-fashioned butter churners.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we've been listening to a little bit of Greg Braden, and you listen to this other guy talking about, can't think of who he was. Remember about the future of finances in...
I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the idea that to survive this, to survive, we have to become more local.
Right.
And have more localized communities.
Right, exactly. That's why I was
looking
at that.
And he said, yeah, you only have to work 5 hours a week to make it,
100%.
To make it work.
Yeah, that's what most people that have really looked at this have figured out, that we would only have to give 5 hours of our time to make the whole thing work if you stayed localized.
Right, if you stay localized.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't cover costs like getting your nails done, I don't think, or cost like Botox.
I don't know. Maybe there's, you know, a local person that does nails and in trade for.
Right. But I'm telling you right now, if I was the Dan Savage of it, I'm sure that some of the questions would be like, hi, Julie. You know, I've been in the community for a couple of years, and the Joneses just came in, and they've had a rough 3 weeks. But I got to tell you, I don't like them. They want to change everything right off the bat.
Oh, I know.
And all they do is complain, and they complain about not having real, you know, reliable Wi-Fi access and this stuff.
Because they're, you know, the Joneses came from the suburbs.
Yeah.
And they don't understand. They just want to change everything up when we had it really nice, but
suburbs
people want to like make rules and regulations,
and they think that we're behind the times. Like, hello, that's the whole point. Don't you get it?
Exactly.
Can I just complain about Dad for a second?
Your father?
Just for a second.
Normano?
Because he, okay.
Because that's usually my job.
I know, but I'm going to complain about him a little bit. Okay, a couple things I need to talk about Normano, just really quick. One is, he was giving me directions on how to get to this place in the semi, or where it was located. And he says, you know, you're going up here. This is when we broke down, and I followed him. He's like, in case we get lost or we lose each other, here's how you're going to go. And you're going to notice there's some windmills to the right. And once you see the windmills, it's only like 2 or 3 streets up. And I'm like, okay, great. So I'm driving down the highway, and I don't see you guys anymore, and you're gone way ahead of me. And I'm like, where the hell are these windmills at? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all he said. Mm-hmm. There'll be some windmills to the right. You know, he neglects to tell me that, don't look in the sky. Look at the ground. It's just windmill parts. There's just literally hundreds of blades on the ground.
No.
Hundreds of tubes to put the blades on.
No.
I think that would have been important
Excuse
to tell.
Excuse me.
When somebody says, look for the windmills.
Yeah.
I think, it'd be like me saying.
No, he just said, look for the windmill blades on the ground.
On the ground.
Yeah.
To the right, you'll see a field. I think he said, you'll see a field of windmills.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
How can I miss that?
How can I miss a field? And I'm freaking out because I'm looking at the horizon. I'm like, I should see windmills by now.
Yeah.
Where are my windmills?
You sound like an old Jewish man.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm trying. I'm practicing for my intentional community. That's the one I'm going for because I want to live in downtown New York and I want to have rent control. That's what I'm going for. Okay. And I think I can get there.
I think you're going to get there.
I am willing to convert. I'm not partial to the Old Testament God. I kind of like Christ. But there are Jews for Christ out there.
Yeah.
I've heard them.
And what about the Kabbalah?
Oh, I love the spiritual Kabbalah side, the magical side of Judaism.
And we get to wear the red thread on our wrists.
Yes, thank you, Madonna, for bringing that up.
That's right.
Kids are like, who's Madonna?
Madonna? Who's Cher?
Who's Cher?
Who's Donovan?
Yeah. Donahue. Donovan's on
Donovan,
Showtime.
I do know who.
He's on Showtime. He's a badass. You don't want that. Okay. And so I just wanted to say, Normano and I have had this problem lately that I have to ask him 20 questions to really get the clearest picture of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And then I'll get there. Yeah. And then we get there, you know, and we're like, okay, and the whole scheme of things wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
So the other day I'm hearing him talk to Elliot. I think he's in the bathroom talking to Elliot. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the other room and we have a big house, but still I can hear whatever you guys are saying.
I know.
And so he's talking to Elliot and he's like, oh, Elliot, why little doggy? Why little man? Why do you have to eat poo when we go outside? Why do you have to eat other dogs' poo when we go outside? Don't you know that's how you get Lyme disease? And I'm like, I'm like, what? And I, don't you know that's how you get to Lyme disease? And I'm just like, I had to cut in.
Enough is enough.
I go, enough's enough. First of all, I cannot continue to for you to, you know, disinform our dog. I mean, he's going to be stupid. Yeah. And then I thought to myself, I yelled at him. I go, yeah. Dad, I did not get the Lyme disease from eating poo. I did not get Lyme disease from eating poo, Father. And he's looking at me. He goes, and he starts giggling. He goes, that's what I thought. I don't know. I think for a split second, he literally thought that you get the Lyme disease from the poo.
And I think this whole incident is even made funnier.
Yes.
For the listening audience, when they know that this all happened and he's on the pot.
Probably pooping.
Pooping.
Yes.
And you come barging in.
Yeah. Into your bedroom, not into the bathroom. The bathroom is somewhat cold, closed. Semi-closed.
Oh. Because Elliot will not allow a fully closed door.
No.
So and everything at some point, has to be ajar with him.
Yeah, and at some point, we just all go with the flow. And like, this is just the way
it is. He's our dog.
No one sees anything.
You can't close the door.
No one sees anything.
That's how we have mastered that.
Yes.
Haven't we?
We have
mastered not looking at each other.
Exactly. And we've done quite well on that.
Yeah. It's like you can come in the room. He can be in the...
But I didn't know. I didn't know. Should I be offended?
That of his ignorance?
Or the fact that he thought, yes... I heard that there was a slight chance that I was eating poo, and that's how I got it. And maybe he didn't think it was, like, I was literally taking a bite of poo, more than Elliot ate poo.
Yeah.
And well, then Elliot came in, kissed me.
Yeah.
Poo transfer.
Yeah.
And then that's I got the Lyme disease. It.
Well, there is that. We have in our house, like, at least a 10-second rule that you can't kiss Elliot if he's eating poo for, like, 10 seconds.
We have a 10-second rule. I call it the 20-minute rule. Yeah. 10 seconds just seems like a little not enough time. 10 seconds? He's not even licking his lips by then. He's still chomping away.
But here's the thing, too. Like, because we're having a lot of water from the lake and stuff, so we've got a lot of geese everywhere. So we now have, besides deer poop, we've got geese poop and doggy poop. We've got just a lot of poop right around us now.
We do. And it's, I just keep telling you, if we were in an intentional community, mm-hmm. we could collect all that poop mm-hmm. and add to our patch of garden.
Yeah, garden patch.
Our garden patch.
Our patch of garden.
That's another band from the 90s. Patrick Garden. Our sound garden, I think it was.
They did that famous song, Your Seeds Relieve Me.
That's the song. I love that song. It's on my iPad or my iPod. It's actually on the tape I did, my Memorex tape. It's on my Memorex tape. And I played over and over again. Now I can barely hear it. It's terrible.
Oh. I know it gets weaker with every play.
Exactly. I no longer am able to sit into a chair and play my Memorex tape into my stereo, my wind and my hair blow in the wind. No longer are those days. I get hollow sounding music. Oh, well, it is what it is.
Yeah. Is Let's just take a moment to...
Yes, to move on.
To move on from... the Memorex.
The Memorex. Oh my gosh. See, that's why they called it Memorex? Because it's now on it's memories on your tape. You don't have to worry about that. I was gratefully, speaking of memories, not my memories. They're fine. They're doing okay. My memories. I was reading this article, possibly in this book that Dad is really enjoying. It's a bottom line book.
Oh, Dad is loving that book.
And they just tell you worthless tidbits
But there's like 101.
101.
Or is it 500?
No, not 500.
It's like 101. And he just, every time he poops, he goes through one.
Yeah. So I was pooping and I was reading one. And I picked one up and I thought, a couple I thought were interesting.
Tidbits, you mean?
Tidbits, yeah. I picked up a couple of tidbits and looked around like, whoa.
These are interesting.
These are some interesting tidbits. Oh, hello there, tidbits. And then I had to drop them because my hands got dirty. Like, this is horrible.
these what do tidbits. I do it now?
Now I got to wash the tidbits off my hands. So one of the tidbits was, it was trying to make you feel okay about not having the best memory anymore, like you're aging.
Oh.
And your memory's not there as well as it should be.
Yeah.
And they said, listen, memory is not an indicator of being smart or having a good life. It's how you you're able to solve complex problems.
Oh, good.
I'm thinking, well, I kind of need your memory to think about what problems you're going to solve.
Yeah, but just think about it, though. You wouldn't have any complex problems to solve.
That's true. If you didn't have a memory.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't remember.
Do you remember that really bad, the breakup that we had and the thing? No? Oh, problem solved.
Problem solved.
he solved that problem pretty easily.
Do you remember me cheating on you the other day?
Yeah, I was like,
no. Oh, I didn't. No, problem solved.
Yeah, problem solved.
Exactly.
So what was the upshot of that tidbit? Or was that the tidbit?
That was tidbit. Like, you know, it's about solving problems. Mm-hmm. That if you can solve a problem, your memory is not the big thing. There's a lot of people out there have great memories who can't solve shit. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that you should look out for. The other thing was, a couple of things, is that if you want to instantly look 10 years younger, don't wear black. Because black brings out the dark circles in your eyes.
And that's my favorite color.
That's my favorite color. I am head to toe black now.
Yeah.
I have a black purse and black shoes. Yeah. And that's another faux pas because they said, don't be so matchy-matchy. Matchy-matchy is a sign of old age. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who wrote this?
Yeah.
Did you follow me around?
I always thought white tennis shoes was a sign. And now like a lot of young guys are wearing white tennis.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I literally thought that you wrote this article. You followed me around and said, don't do what Julie does. Don't wear black all the time. Make sure
don't be matchy-matchy.
Don't be matchy-matchy. Don't have a matching black purse and black shoes.
Don't wear knee socks and thongs.
Don't wear that because everything they say not to do, I do.
That's right.
You know?
I have another tidbit.
Don't have none eyebrows, which I do.
No, you don't. You got rid of them.
Yes.
Yeah. You have none now.
I have none.
You did good.
I have
you went from none to none.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. But I have another tidbit that's not in the book.
Oh, what is a tidbit?
And this tidbit is about if you need to really quickly have whiter teeth.
Oh, yeah.
And
say
you got a job interview or something.
Yeah.
And you don't have time to go to the dentist and have that big treatment done or,
right,
you know, do the Crest white strips.
Right.
The thing that you do
is
you get, now this is the truth now, red dye.
Oh, okay.
In food coloring.
Okay.
And you do your gums.
Oh. You make your gums redder.
You make your gums red, which automatically makes your teeth look white.
Seriously. That's ridiculous.
I know, but can you make your gums red?
Right now? I don't see your gums one bit.
Oh.
You see, it's not everybody.
But
I
don't know if
not
you have
everybody
to,
is a gum smiler.
I don't know if that's just knowing, though, that your gums are red.
Makes your teeth whiter.
I don't know.
Hello there.
But wouldn't it be weird if you went into an interview and, you know, like all that guy could see would be like,
your red gums. Like obviously like, red.
She,
like,
and is something, think, got something wrong with her?
Yeah, like, man, her
thrush?
Gums are, yeah, her gums are healthy. Well, I know that Clinique at one point had lipsticks that they said, these colors will make your teeth look two shades brighter.
Whoa.
I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
Cool. And I'm just like, this is a lot of work.
You know, but if you just watch even just a little bit of TV.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Hello.
Hello, sorry
about
that.
It's crazy how white people's teeth look.
Yeah.
Top and bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, because they don't. I don't think they stay this. They stay the same color. Like,
right.
My bottoms are not as white as my top.
Right.
But so I mean, but they're extremely white.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, even if young people, you know, like that guy that does Patriot Act on Netflix.
Yeah.
His teeth are so top and bottom.
I am seeing normal people's
so
teeth
white.
So white.
Yeah.
And I don't even think.
What is it?
I think they're all fake teeth.
It's all
I
fake.
Think they're all fake
it's
teeth.
It's all fake teeth.
And I think
not,
they're getting just,
they just
implants.
Get them, yeah.
Go for it.
Give me a brand new smile. I'm on TV.
Yep, I need
Got
white
it.
Teeth. Because you're
and
right.
But here's the thing, though, Jules. I swear to God, if I was going to go for that, I don't know how much money that costs, right? But that's an investment, right? Yeah. It's an investment.
Yep.
Would you make them that white? Where everybody's going, those look artificial.
Yeah, because it is.
They don't fade.
They don't fade because they do the tissue test, right? Post the tissue test. Are your teeth whiter than a tissue test? Tissue? Or a lot darker than a tissue?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant like actual tissue. Like,
yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Not like a Kleenex tissue. Yeah, okay, not
got it.
Tissue in your body.
Yeah.
That's gross. Yeah. I think we're to a world where nothing is real and therefore it's okay to go white. Because I was reading in this bottom line report about how getting Botox can cure depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, maybe because you're depressed because you're always frowning, you get those pain, you get migraines.
Right.
And they said, no, that's not the reason why. Because just the act of frowning sends signals to your brain that you're unhappy.
100%.
And if you're unable to send those signals to your brain, you're no longer depressed.
I agree with that.
And you look in the mirror, and you're like, I don't look half bad, sister.
I don't look bad, sister.
This is good. So I think
I don't feel so depressed now.
I don't feel so depressed.
Back next to you, girlfriend. You got all those good wrinkles.
You're beautiful. Gorgeous. And hello, gorgeous.
We learned that in psychotherapy school. Like the brain can't differentiate from when you're fake smiling or if you're really smiling. So if you're happy and you know it.
What?
That doesn't work out. No.
If you're not happy and you don't want to show it, smile.
Yeah.
There is a song about, you know, when you're sad, smile anyway. Yeah. Don't let them see you not smile. But I have gotten myself through a few years of high anxiety episodes with smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you sing a song and you're smiling, and you believe
the whole world smiles with you.
Exactly. You're like, I can get through this time and I'm getting through it. And so I know that game. And so I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I can say, you know, bottom line, I'm bottom lining it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put on a happy face. Like I think for you, when you smile,
mm-hmm.
the whole world smiles with you. You walk into a room. It's like, look at me. I'm smiling.
I light up the room.
You do light up the room. Speaking of that, we were doing our spiritual work with our wheels, the seven pillars of the world or life. And, you know, you have to see if your wheel is more circular and sometimes parts of your wheel are small and need help. And for this guy, he was talking about your emotional side. And he asked you some questions to just get your thinking, like where would you judge yourself on a scale from 1 to 10? 1 being your emotional state needs a lot of help. And 10, you're pretty even. Not that you're ecstatic all the time, because that would be weird,
mm-hmm.
but that you're even and people can trust you to be even and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions that he asks you to get you thinking is, do people have to adjust themselves to be around you?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's a good...
That's a good one.
That's good.
Yeah. Do you notice if people are like, kind of like testing the water to see how you're doing?
And then you mentioned the idea of walking on eggshells. Yeah. Are you walking on eggshells around somebody?
Yes.
And that somebody could be the one. And they're probably going, well... No, I'm totally cool.
Here's the
with
thing.
You walking around eggshells.
If there's
around
five
me.
People in the room and you can't tell which one is, oops,
you're breaking some shells.
You're carrying a lot of eggs.
You're carrying the eggs exactly. I'm trying to make the metaphor work. Did it work?
I think so.
I'm carrying the eggs.
But last time you said eggs, you went to nuts.
That's right. I'm changing it up.
Yeah.
I'm using the whole gamut of I don't know, round things, breakable things, things that crack, things with shells.
You went
things
from
with shells.
Things with shells.
Eggs have shells. Nuts have shells.
Seas
shells. By the seashore. those kind of shells.
Gas stations.
I love my shell gas station. Exactly.
So do you want to talk a little bit about the funeral that you went to this week?
Yeah, I want to talk. I'll probably talk more about it next week because it's still kind of raw
okay.
in me. And But I would
I'm
like
sure if- we just lost a lot of listeners like, oh, funeral, oh. But it actually was kind of a joyful celebration
it
of
was.
A life.
It was at a life celebration place, not a funeral home.
Yeah.
They don't call them funeral homes anymore. No. It's a life celebration.
Yeah, we are going and, to all meet at the life celebration.
And it, they, you know what? Mm-hmm. It was for my cousin.
Yeah.
And she was 57 years old, and it wasn't a surprise. You know,
it wasn't. She's not your cousin, though. She's daddy's cousin.
Well, she's my second cousin.
Yeah. No, no, I know, but I just wanted to.
Oh, yeah. She's, yeah.
Make sure that.
It's not, yeah, we're not first cousins.
Right.
And so it was nice for me to go there and represent my family and be there. But I was.
And it was in Ohio.
It was in Ohio.
So
it was
you had a long drive.
Exactly. And what was. Like I said, I walked in and it was a life celebration mm-hmm. because they had several screens all over the place of just pictures of her life. Mm-hmm. And you go in, it felt lively.
Yeah, lighter.
And what those pictures did, though, was trigger memories from family and friends.
Yeah.
Because one of the pictures was from her first wedding, from her marriage. And I was in it, her wedding.
Yes.
And here I am, you know, I don't know. 14, 15 years uh-huh. old. I wasn't yeah. able to drive yet. And here I am. And it was cute because I was talking to my aunt. And she was, my cousin was in it, who was only 5 years old at the time. And at the time of her wedding, she had just cut, she was a flower girl. She had just cut her bangs herself. So she just had the shortest little tiny bangs. And my aunt said she just freaked out. She's like, oh my gosh, we're leaving for Columbus, Ohio for this wedding. And she just cut her bangs.
Who are we talking about, by the way?
Katie.
Oh my gosh,
Katie
really?
Just cut her bangs.
Oh
yep.
my gosh.
For Diane's wedding. And so it was so nice seeing all these pictures because yeah. they organically started conversations and right. memories. And
I think too, because this cousin didn't die suddenly. She had ALS.
Yeah.
And she was sick for years
yeah.
and years.
They and said it was 10 years before the first symptom.
Was it 10 yeah. years? Really?
Yeah.
And toward the end, I mean, like the last couple of years, she was really bad.
Right.
So in essence, there was, you know, rather than it being like somebody just going suddenly or
right.
in an accident.
Right.
I mean, this was, first of all, not unexpected.
Right.
And to all the people who loved her, a relief.
I think that it showed great, I just hugely got a sense of what her character was as an adult woman because mm-hmm. I knew her as a kid.
Right.
I knew her, last time I saw her was at her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, she was married and then divorced, had two kids, and their kids were are adults. And one of her oldest son, she only has one son, has a baby that was just born, 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what her spirit was like was this huge, fun family woman.
Mm-hmm.
She was about family,
mm-hmm.
and she loved her family, and her family loved her, and. She was part of this big community.
Mm-hmm.
And what I also thought was interesting, and I'm not like this. Like, I went to NIU. You know, that was my college, mm-hmm. not my undergrad, but my master, my undergrad. And they are really about Ohio State University or Ohio College, something like that. They both have different Ohio somethings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both into football.
The alumni and
yeah,
stuff.
Into alumni stuff and college. And they did, you know, OH. And we go, OIO. And we're like, I don't know what this is about. Well, we did a little college chant during
so
the service.
Cute.
Yes, it was really sweet.
Aww.
And, you know, I'm just like, I don't get this, but this is great.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I guess I would be like, NIU, Husky, ruff, 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 ruff. I don't know, but that's what we are. We're Huskies, which is not very flattering at all to be the Huskies, but that's who we are. And then I say ILL, you say INOIS. I say ILL, and you say INOIS. Yeah, not that. There's nothing rhythmic to it.
Nothing,
like OHIO, that's
no.
rhythmic and so forth.
Yeah, Ohio is rhythmic.
And so it was just so sweet to just feel these family, you know, and her sister and her children and all adults and just the amount of how incredible this family was
mm-hmm.
and is
mm-hmm.
and you know, and I think, and I felt a part of that. I felt a part, like, oh, here's part of my family. Right. And just how grounded and how important family is, mm-hmm. and how cool of a family I have, you know, like my outer, you know, if I did a family tree, I would go, God, I have a pretty cool family.
Yeah.
You know, this is awesome. And then telling stories to my aunts and uncles and asking questions and just trying to be engaged. And then at some point it was really weird. I'm in line getting food at the end of the buffet. Mm-hmm. And it was at the Life Celebration. And it was interesting because at some point I have this sensation that I have a booger in my nose and I can't get it out. And I'm wondering if it's visible to the world.
Oh, no.
Does anybody ever feel that way? Like, you just feel there's something going on in my face.
Oh, my gosh.
I really just want to scratch or pick or get a tissue or go at it.
And you don't want to do it at the buffet table.
No, because that would just be wrong. That would be really gross. And I'm just like, okay. And people are talking to me and I'm talking back. And I'm just, but in my back of my mind, I'm just thinking to myself.
Yeah.
Do I have something on my face? And then
are they looking at you like you might?
Yeah, not really, but yet I know that people's visions differ.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they don't know what's going on. Right. I don't know. It's like close up. They don't have the readers on. Who knows? And so literally the last 20 to 30 minutes of me being in Ohio, I had this sensation that I must have the biggest booger hanging out of my nose. And all I want to do is grab it. And I'm just like,
man.
But it was kind of sweet. Well, it was not kind of, it was really sweet. I sat next to my Aunt Irma, my Aunt Ruthie, who are, well, one's 95 and one's late 80s. And they were sitting with a couple of millennials, or just older millennials, but millennials on the yet less. And one was a family friend and one was my cousin, my second cousin, you know. Or what's it, my third cousin? Maybe my third cousin. Probably my third cousin. Mm-hmm. But we're all just cousins at some point.
It's just cousins, honey.
We're just cousins. We're all just cousins.
We're just cousins.
And it was so sweet because I'm talking to her. And I know we have to go. And I find out that she's like you in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You know, really, and like us, really spiritually minded. And I said, she's into, you know, internet stuff and multiple streams of income. And she's talking and she's like, and I just go, do you watch Gaia TV or Gaia.com? And she's like, oh my gosh, I love Gaia.com. And because she eventually started talking. And then when I said Gaia, it's like code word for I'm into the spiritual side.
Yes.
I'm into
anything.
It's so
true. And then
she goes, I see angels. And we're talking about Greg Braden.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. I go, that's so great. Because my mom, and I said, sees angels and, you know, crosses, you know, talks to people. And, you know, and I try to be really polite. And I say, do you know what this word means? And in my head, I'm thinking pompous psycho. I go, pompous psycho. This is not right. I go, do not say pompous psycho. Do not say pompous psycho. And I go, no, that's not it. And my brain's trying to work quickly. I go, do you know what psychopomp means? And I go, that's it. That's the word, psychopomp. And she goes, no, I don't. I go, well, that's what my mom is. It's kind of being able to talk, you know, through dimensional work and, you know, and all this stuff and across the other side.
Well,
and I'm trying
sure
to be very vague. She was very
it.
Fascinated. And I said, I go, unfortunately, it totally passed over me. Like, I don't. And she goes, oh, no. She was being so kind to me. She's like,
honey.
Oh, no, honey. You got it. You have the gift. You have to just work with it more. And I'm like, oh. From your lips to Goddess's ears, you know.
She goes, you got the gift, honey, but you got to do something about that booger in your nose.
That's exactly right. So how'd the show go, friend?
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.